Hello.
Hi.
Hi, it's
Hi.
Dina.
Hi,
This is
Dina.
Trish.
Hi, Trish.
Hello. Hi,
Good evening,
Caroline.
everyone. Hey
Hi,
there.
Carl.
Hey, Dina. Hey, Caroline. Hey, Trish.
Hello.
Carl.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New
Yeah.
Year.
Got a. I know DJ said she was feeling under the weather, so she won't be able to join us tonight. She'll listen to the recording. So, DJ, as you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you and we are holding space for you. So feel better.
Get well soon.
Get well soon.
I am going to mute myself because the girls are having some noise, no, I mean music on in the background.
Very good.
Okay.
Just give it another 20,
Yeah.
30
Is Tully
seconds.
back?
I believe he's back. I haven't spoken to him. So we'll just give it another 15, 20 seconds and we'll get started and people will join as we continue.
How are you, Trish?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
Oh, somebody just joined. Hello, it's Joan.
Hi,
Hey, Joan.
Joan.
Welcome to the call. Happy New
Happy
Year.
New
Glad to
Year.
be here. Happy New Year, too.
Yes.
This is exciting. We're turning the corner.
I know, we
Yes.
are turning a corner.
Yeah.
2019.
I was working on my statement because I realized I need to do some more refining on it and just bring it, make it more alive.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, focus it. Focus it.
Yeah.
Keep calibrating and let it grow you. Let it grow you.
No, that's
So
great. Yeah.
somebody else just jumped on.
I think
Jennifer.
Jennifer's on. Hey, Jen.
Jennifer. Jenny
Hi,
May.
darling. I
Yes,
love
Happy
you.
New Year.
Happy New Year.
So let's get the call started. So Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to our first group coaching call for 2019. And I just want to say that this is your time. 2019, this is your time. This is your breakthrough year. And I just want to remind everybody that your goals and dreams deserve your full attention. So let's bring your full attention right here. I invite you to take a deep breath with me right now, because you can only breathe in the present. You can't breathe in the past, and you can't breathe in the future. You can only breathe where you are in the present. So I invite you to turn the ringer off on your phone. I invite you to close the door to the room that you're sitting in right now and bring yourself to you. We spend so much time dealing with what's coming at us that many of us spend very little time really paying attention to what's seeking to emerge and come from and through us. So let's put our full focus here on you today. So get your pen and paper ready, get ready to take some notes, get ready to participate, and we're gonna dive right in. So let's first, I just want to hear a little bit about, some wins. Share some wins over the past couple weeks. The holidays could be a trying time for a lot of people, but they can also be a very loving and supportive time as well. And so, in your dream building journey here, if anybody has any wins they would like to share or any experiences they have had.
No win is too small or no win is too big.
Yeah.
I have a
Right.
win. Oh, go ahead first.
No, please, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, one of my wins, I think I've had a few, but it's a small one, but I'm particularly pleased because one of my issues in this lifetime is willpower. I don't always have the best willpower. And I did.
Up until now. I just want to pause you there. Up until now.
Right, up until now. And
Right.
so I did a 3-day detox cleanse. It was Dr. Oz's detox cleanse. All natural ingredients, things you buy in the, at the supermarket. And I completed it, and I didn't cheat once.
Yay.
So, Yes.
Oh,
and
nice.
I didn't tell anybody I was doing it because I wanted to be able to like have done it and then say it. Like I was worried that if I talked about it and then I didn't complete it, that I would, you know, somehow feel bad about it. So anyway, so I did it.
How do you feel?
I was pleased. And it actually, I felt good on it. And it made me start to rethink how I'm eating in general. Like,
right.
So that was good.
That's growth. That's great.
That is
That's
great.
Really, that is great. And I just want to, you know, to remind everybody that, you know, when we talk about dream building, we talk about our vision statement, you know, 3 years from now. But I want to invite everybody to really look at everything that you do in life as a visioning exercise. So even with a 3-day fast, you know, vision that out. What does that mean? How do you feel? See yourself doing it and completing it. So really put the, you know, the specifics to that, even if it's only for 3 days. And that way you don't have to rely on willpower. We can rely on a mental faculty called will, which is different than willpower. Our mental faculty of will allows us to focus. So, you know, when we use that to meditate, to hold an image in our minds, to hold the images of our vision, of our dream, that we use the mental faculty of will. And it's just holding that image. It doesn't take a lot of effort. You can just hold that image in your mind. So vision out, even if it's a 3-day fast, vision that out and hold those images in your mind. And that way you don't have to rely so much on our own power, our own willpower, our own, you know, like, you know, I'm really going to do this, you know, if we vision it and use it as a mini dream building exercise. So I just wanted to throw that out. So, Trish, you have something to share?
Definitely. Awesome.
Yes, this is, for me, it's not huge, but it's a big win. I had, over the past year, I'd been working with a woman who had very little tolerance for me and did not celebrate me and didn't invite me to outings and didn't invite me to lunch, always left me out when I'm sitting right there watching them all walk out the door. And yeah, hurtful, you know, rejected, and again, feeling just tolerated and not celebrated. She left the company. So starting the new year outright, my boss is now giving me front and center attention and is teaching me her role, which is a greater role, and could lead me into something else quickly. So I don't know. I didn't think anything negative about this person. I prayed for this person. I wished her well. I prayed for blessings over her, and I think I passed the test. So
wow.
She's now moved on, and yeah, I feel really good about it.
Good.
Yeah. See, so this is a good exercise for everybody. A good lesson is like you don't have to hold ill will. Hold positive intent. Hold blessings for everyone, and you know the greater good for everyone involved, and things start to shift. So instead of, you know, being gossipy or being, you know, feeling left out or you know saying negative things about somebody, is to hold them in higher esteem and things start to shift, and look what happened.
Trish,
really
that
beautiful.
Is huge. That's huge.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And it's a great way to start the new year, right?
New year. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
I'm proud of you,
so,
Trish.
Yeah, we're very proud of both.
Thank
both,
you.
Both of you.
I know.
Does anybody else want
to
share before we dive into this week's? Well, we're going to review last session's lessons first. But anybody else want to share?
Yes, I'll share. I'll share briefly. I managed to get sick over the holidays, New Year's part of the holiday, and after that, but. And I had caught the cold, and I don't get sick, but I did. I got a cold before Christmas, like around the 15th, and then it came back. But what I did is I decided to use it for something I've been wanting to do. I've been wanting to give up coffee. I love the smell and the taste of coffee, but I've been wanting to give it up because, you know, I drink it with cream and everything else, and, you know. So I used it, and so now I am officially 1 month free of coffee, and I knew if I could make it to a month, I'm okay. So that's but I used to get in sick, you know, as my catalyst, because I wasn't eating much of anything, and I thought, well, if I can go these number of days, I can go the rest of it.
Wow, congratulations.
That's for you.
Yeah.
That is good. And we'll label something as good or bad. Like if we get a cold or mm-hmm. get sick, we say, oh, that's bad, right? But that's a label that we put on it. Why does it have to be bad? Maybe it's an opportunity like this for growth, an opportunity to raise our awareness, an opportunity to, you know, maybe to listen to our body. Our bodies are telling us something. And also then setting a vision of being coffee free and knowing that if you held that for a certain period of time, then you're going to get, you know, cross that point where it just becomes more of a habit. It becomes part of your being coffee free, part of your daily, you know, your daily habits. So good for you.
And then I just have one other, like, you know, this is small one as well, a shorter one, but so for as long as my kids have been, you know, I've had children, we've gone down to my parents' home down in the Virginia area for Christmas. So for 28 years, every Christmas. Then my mother passed away, and then everybody, first year that happened, second year, then people started saying, well, they're not doing this, they're not doing that. So, like, we had to come up with new traditions. And so that's what we just decided. We said, okay, we're going to start some completely new traditions now, which we did, and we had an incredible Christmas here in New York. And then I got a letter, and this is my point. I got a letter from one of my relatives that kind of annoyed me. But you know what I did? I used the forgiveness ritual, and I used it and I used it until, you know what, I ended up laughing and having, you know, laughing about the situation and feeling light about it. So that was really, it's just a beautiful, you know, the Buddhist forgiveness piece that we say. It's just a beautiful thing.
That's awesome. That's incredible.
And it's really beautiful, and that's exactly what it segues really nicely into what we're going to be talking about this week, which we'll get to in a few minutes. So, you know, the summary of last time. So that's really nice that you took the lessons that we're learning here, especially about forgiveness. Forgiveness is huge, and there's three lessons during, you know, over the 12 weeks, over the 16 lessons that we have in this program. Three of them are dedicated to forgiveness. That's how important forgiveness is. And so I'm going to use that beautifully, Joan, to segue right into what we're going to talk about this week and just review what we talked about on our last session. So last session we looked at the third stumbling block likely to come up when we're in the gap. Because right now, remember, the first phase of dream building is blueprinting. We did that. We're working on our vision, which is liquid. It's always, you know, we're always tweaking and changing it. Phase two is we're in the gap, so we're clearing the soil of our being, the soil of our mind, and clearing some of the stuff and the toxins that may be in the soil, such as the sense of deserving or a sense of lack, and also the what we're going to talk about is forgiveness. And so every act is some aspect of love. And that's what A Course in Miracles says, something very interesting. It says that every act is either an expression of love or a call for love, regardless of how unskillful it may appear. And so keeping that in mind, if somebody is unskillful or acting, you know, again, in a what we would label as a bad way to us, if we look at it differently, they're either expressing love or a call for love, then, you know, we hold it in a different perspective. And forgiveness is a shift in perception. And again, going back to the Course in Miracles, it builds on this idea. It says that forgiveness is a shift in perception that removes a block in me to my awareness of love's presence. And so, you know, Joan, you could have had, you know, you had this letter, it was upsetting, and you could have just, you know, stayed in that energy of being upset and you know, we don't know the content of it or the extent of it, and we don't need to, but that energy around that, and then you skillfully used an exercise in forgiveness to turn it, to change that perception, where you got to the point where you went into laughter and it was just it sounded like a much more joyous and freeing experience. And that's exactly what we're going to be learning about today is practices. We talk about the concept of forgiveness and but we don't necessarily always know what's the best way to forgive. What are some techniques to forgive? And it is a process. You know, it's like we brush our teeth every day. We eat every day. We bathe. Forgiveness is a daily practice. It's something that we should be practicing every single day. It's not a one-time event by any means. And it's helpful to remind ourselves that we learn to walk by falling down. It's like the whole dream building process. We learn by falling down. We learn to walk by falling down. And forgiveness is not a one-time event. We're going to fall. We're going to stumble. We're going to be wobbly. It's a process. And just as a baby learns to walk by falling down, we learn by just keep going back, keep going back, and we repeat it over and over and over over again. And the philosopher Rumi, the poet Rumi, he said that, you know, there's a place where our souls are just fine. And the quote goes, "Out beyond the ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field, and I will meet you there." And it's that infinite side of us, the perfect spiritual DNA that we have. That's a place that all of us have in us, and we can all meet each other there. And so we know that that's a common ground, you know. So this week during the lessons, Mary talked about sacred friends. She talked about meeting the Dalai Lama. Now he talked about sacred friends. Our friends are easy to forgive, right? If they do something, you know, unskillful, or they do something that, you know, that hurt us in some way, they're easier to forgive, you know, family members or, you know, friends. But sacred friends, much harder to forgive. And with the Dalai Lama, his sacred friend is the Chinese government, who's been, you know, suppressing or trying to eliminate, you know, killing his people, killing the Tibetan people, trying to eliminate their culture. I mean, really just erase it. So you imagine, you know, for somebody, to be at that level, the Dalai Lama is at, where, you know, Mary spent a lot of time with him and she could not detect even a sliver of hatred or any kind of animosity in him at all. And she just found that, especially what's going on, you know, with the Chinese government and with his culture and with his people and being exiled and people are being killed and tortured. So what are some of the ways, I mean, this past lesson, what are some of the ways that your sacred friends have enabled your heart to expand? Because that's also what the Dalai Lama teaches us, is that, you know, it's a hard lesson to have sacred friends, to be able to forgive them for even the hardest of betrayals and of pain. But by really leaning into this practice of forgiveness, what it does for us is it really expands our hearts even more. And so does anybody want to share, you know, their experience with a sacred friend and being able to allow forgiveness to expand their hearts?
This is Trish. I guess I'll go. I'll batter up here. Mm-hmm. Let's see. my daughter's father. He hasn't been in, my daughter's 25, and he has not been in her life really, probably over the last 7 or 8 years, but really since she was 15. He didn't even show up at her college graduation. And I struggled with him. I thought so many times about really taking a rubber bat and just beating him with a rubber bat time after time after time after time. Found myself while she was in college, I had lost my job and I couldn't pick her up on my health insurance and he refused to do it. So I had to take him to court. And something came over me while we were waiting to go into the courtroom. It was a good 30 minutes and he was sitting on the other side of me and I just started praying for a good solid 30 minutes and something overcame me. And not only he was required to pick up her health insurance, but I actually did something I don't think anyone would ever do, and I can't believe I did it, but I actually had his child support lowered, his child support payments to me lowered. And he walked out of the courtroom and he said, "Why did you do that?" I don't know. I don't know why I did that. I guess out of, you know, it was me starting to just looking at him and just looking at how pitiful this poor man is and you know, how many issues he has. And I just, this forgiveness started to come over me. I'm still working on it. You know, the entire, it's a process. But it was a start. And I'm still striving to make that full forgiveness, even though he's not in her life. For me, that was a pretty big moment. I know it was in the past. It's not something that's happened in the very near future, but I just wanted to put that out there.
No, I mean, it's a great example, and it's the power of prayer, the power of getting into the right mindset, changing that energy, releasing that block within you. Most of it happens in the past. You know, especially if, you know, I've had clients in their 70s and they're still talking about forgiving, you know, people from when they were children. One of the questions that I get often is well, how do I know that I have fully forgiven this person? Well, when you bring this person up in your mind and you see a picture of them in your mind, their face or, you know, a snapshot of them, what is your reaction to that? And so if you feel a contraction, you feel that little, you know, that feeling in your gut, there's still work to be done. There's still work to be done. And that's the story that Mary told of her mentor, Jack Boland, when he shared about his brother-in-law. And that, you know, and this is what we often do. There's so many layers to that story is we often rehearse our pain. And because we can always find somebody that will commiserate with us. There will always somebody that will, like, you know, we can lean into and go, oh, you know, look at my scar here and look at my pain here. And they're, oh, yeah, you know, they'll help support that. And the same thing, it's like it was a well-practiced story that he said how, you know, he was in business with his brother-in-law and you know, it didn't work out and he ended up getting ripped off. And he rehearsed that story for a long time, years and years and years and years and years. As we all do. And, you know, and every time, you know, the thought of his brother-in-law, the face popped up in his mind, and I'm sure it was like that for you, Trish, with, you know, with your ex-husband, where it pulls up in your mind, and you get that contraction. I said, all right, well, there's the block there. Then we know that's the flag there. That's the telling us that we still have work to do, because that's a block within us. Because oftentimes, like, you know, we may still hold unforgiveness for somebody that's passed away. Obviously, it's not affecting that person. You know, they say forgiveness or unforgiveness is like poisoning yourself, expecting the other person to die, or you know, or grabbing a hot coal, expecting the other person to get burned. It just doesn't work that way.
I can tell you. Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
over this last week, in my dreams, he's been coming up in my dreams, and the dreams over the years have been usually rejection, or there's anger, or there's it's ugly. It's ugly, and I wake up feeling, oh. But this past week specifically, the dreams that I've been having about him are wonderful dreams. We're nice to each other in the dream. Yeah, I find that very interesting.
That is really nice. So there is that release in you, that block of love, where now you're starting to experience the dreams of him in a more loving tone, as opposed to that contraction that you know every time. So that's good work. That's good work that you're showing there. You know, does it mean it's completely done? I don't know, but you're moving in the right direction. And there's techniques, you know, and we're going to talk about some practices and some techniques that we can use. But one of the ones that Jack Bowen taught Mary to do, and I think it's just brilliant. And we can use this similar technique in our dream building, where let's say he just for whatever reason something reminds him of his brother-in-law, and he gets this contractive feeling. He says, all right, I still have some forgiveness work to be done here. And so then what he would do is he would bring up an image of his son when his son was a baby, and he would bring that image up, and then his heart, his energy would be raised in a feeling of love. And so he's in that vibration of love. And then while he's there vibrating at that higher frequency, he would slowly slide in a picture of his brother-in-law. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, it's a practice. In the beginning, boom, that the energy would just contract down to zero. Boom, again. And so then he would keep practicing it over time. And then he noticed that, you know, he would bring, you know, get back into that state of love, bring his brother-in-law's face in, and there would be a contraction, but it wouldn't go all the way down to zero. There would be some contraction, but not 100%. And as he practiced it, the contraction got less and less and less, to the point where he can actually slip his brother-in-law's face and superimpose it in his mind over his son's face and see his brother-in-law as a child, as a baby, and feel no contraction whatsoever. And he knew at that point that, you know, well, it gave him a clue that the forgiveness work, at least in that area, had really reached a successful level. And what really proved it to him is when he pulls up to a red light, and a Cadillac comes up next to him, and he glances over, and he notices it's his brother-in-law, his ex-brother-in-law, driving this car. And he didn't have an immediate contraction. What he did, the first thought was, oh, that's so-and-so. It looks like he's doing well, and I'm happy for him. And so then he realized that he really had released the unforgiveness in his heart toward this man that had done him wrong, or you know, acted unskillfully toward him. So that's it's a big clue, and I think your dreams, you know, Trish, that involve your ex, is showing signs that this work that you're doing is achieving a much higher level, and that you're releasing that block within you. So good for you. Good work. Good work.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to share something, you know, a story about a sacred friend? And it doesn't have to mean that it's fully resolved. It could just be an experience that you've had.
Well, I can share a story unless somebody else has one.
Yeah, talk to us, Joan. Share with us.
Okay, so I've been working with the same company for 15 years. And over those 15 years, there's one person, one man that I work with, and we've gotten along really well, but something happens and he just, some kind of conflict happens between us. And he's the kind of person who then makes it really personal and gets really pointed about it and starts to cause problems. And this has been to the point where I will have nothing to do with him, and I'll tell our managers, you know, I do not want to have anything to do with him for I don't want to have anything to do with him for a period, and I really don't. And I'm sure we've all been there. So what's happened is, and it can go on for like a whole year. He won't talk to me. That's okay. But so we were having one of these conflicts, and I asked to speak with the manager, and the three of us were together. And while I was there, he started talking about what was bothering him about our job. And I had, I realized that what he was saying, I had empathy for how he was feeling. And I expressed it while we were in this meeting with the management. I expressed empathy for what he was going through. And do you know this man's energy towards me has totally changed?
Wow.
To the point where he's now, he even brought a project for me to do with him, and, you know, that was going to benefit both of us equally. But I could feel that change when I expressed empathy to, you know, what he was experiencing. Wow.
That's,
it was a
that's
wow
really
for me.
That is a wow. That is a wow. So if, you, again, you think of, like, everything is an expression of love or a call for love, and maybe he was just behaving because he was feeling not feeling love. He was asking for love, and then you by offering empathy gave him love on that level, and that changed that relationship. It really shifted the energy between you. Well done.
I remember having it. It was like, you know, I just, something in me just said, consciously decided to, you know, like say it out loud, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Made the difference.
Well, that's your, you know, that's the infinite speaking through you. You know, and you listened and you obeyed and you shared, and look at the change. It's like magic, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, good job. Good job. Good job listening. And good job. So that's what, you know, the power of this work, the power of notice what you're noticing, you know, noticing your sacred friends, noticing, you know, how you interact with other people, and then, you know, responding in a from a higher road, if you will, a higher vibration. Trish did that, you know, she just shared that with us when she went into the court. And Joan did the same thing. She had this feeling. It was like, oh, I can understand where he's coming from. I have empathy for him, and she expressed that, and it just shifted. You know, just like Trish saw that, it shifted not only within her, but it sounds like it shifted with her ex-husband, and the same thing here, but Joan and her colleague, that the energy shifted between them. And that was a shift. I want to just point out, it was a shift that happened inside Joan. And it was a shift that happened inside Trish. And by shifting that inside both of you, what happened? It changed the results on the outside. So it's a powerful, you know, it's a powerful lesson there, you know, that we bear witness to. So thank you for sharing that. That's amazing stuff, amazing stuff. So forgiveness practices. So sometimes we, you know, it's like we have these feelings on forgiveness, and what do we do with it? You know, it's like, how am I ever going to forgive this person? Well, you know, with the practice that Jack Bolin taught us, or Mary taught us, you know, that Jack Bolin used, we can certainly use that. But we're gonna focus on three more actual practices that'll help you step into forgiveness. And again, forgiveness doesn't change the past; it changes the present, and it transforms the future. And the other thing, too, is we just want to remind ourselves is that, and a lot of people have, you know, this concept of forgiveness, the idea of forgiveness is that, you know, we're accepting what happened. That doesn't mean we're accepting what happened. It doesn't mean we condone it. It doesn't mean we're opening ourselves up to have it happen again. It doesn't mean that we're going to be a doormat. It changes the energy inside us. It changes it. It doesn't mean you agree with what's happening and what's happened and all of that. Doesn't mean that it makes it go away, But it doesn't change that. It doesn't change that past. But it does change your present, and it just does transform your future. So the three practices we're going to talk about this week, and we're going to practice in the coming week, the first one is called Tonglen. And this is a Buddhist practice. It's called, Tonglen means loving kindness. It's a Buddhist practice of loving kindness. And the core of this practice, it's a breathing exercise. And so the core of this practice is breathing in another's pain so they can be well and have more space to relax and open. And breathing out, sending them relaxation, compassion, healing, or whatever you feel would bring them relief and happiness. And the way this works, we start with ourselves first. We breathe in our own pain. We breathe in our pain, our anger, our suffering, resentment, woundedness. So again, we're talking about, you know, forgiveness practice. So it's something that we may have these feelings around. So we may have pain or anger or suffering or resentment or woundedness. So we breathe that in. And then we breathe out compassion, healing, love, and joy for ourselves. So we start with ourselves. It's a way of clearing our energy. So we're breathing into our pain, our anger, our suffering, whatever that we're feeling, and we're breathing out compassion. So again, there's that transformation that happens in that process. Breathing in, breathing into what we're feeling, and then breathing it out as compassion, healing, love, and joy for ourselves. And so it starts there. Then we take on the suffering of a person we know to be hurting and who we wish to help. For instance, if you know a child who's being hurt, you breathe in the wish to take away all their pain and fear of that child. Then as you breathe out, you send the child happiness, joy, or whatever would relieve their pain. Now, I just want to make it clear that we're not taking on their pain. It's a spiritual practice here. We're not taking on their pain. And I know that's you know, oftentimes it's like, especially with children or our own children, it's like, oh, I wish I could take on their pain. I wish I can feel their suffering so they wouldn't have to suffer. So that's not what we're talking about here. It's not taking on that energy. It's a practice of transformation. We're using infinite energy to transform, not our own energy. And so again, we start with ourselves. We breathe in our pain, and we breathe out compassion, healing, love, joy. And then we do this for somebody else. Now, this is a practice. We don't have to just do it for forgiveness. We can do it for many different things. We know a lot of people that are hurting. So we take on, you know, it says we take on, but it's not taking on physically. It's an energetic taking on. We're taking in as we breathe in. We're breathing in their hurt, and we're exhaling. We're exhaling away the pain, the fear, whatever would relieve their pain. Then we take on the pain and woundedness of someone who has hurt us or wronged us. So this is where we step into forgiveness. So if we have somebody that has wronged us or hurt us, again, that's an expression of love, you know, of seeking love in an unskilled way. So we're gonna breathe in that pain and woundedness of someone, of their pain and woundedness. We're gonna breathe that in. So, like, you know, if it's one of our sacred friends, we're breathing in a lot here, and we're gonna breathe in their pain, their suffering, their loneliness, their hurt, and we're gonna breathe out love, compassion, and healing for that person. So it's again a breathing transformation practice. It's a cycle, in and out, and it's very powerful and very transformative. So we can use it for somebody that's suffering, that needs, you know, some relief of their pain, but we all can also use it for our own suffering if we've been wronged or still have unforgiveness. So it's a very, very powerful exercise that we can do. And again, it's a practice. We're not going to do it perfect the first time, the first 10 times. But it gets us into that space, breathing in, into the pain, into the suffering, into the hurt, the wrongdoing, and transforming that as we breathe out, just that fast, as we exhale it out, compassion and love and joy and freedom. So that's Tonglen. The next one is called Namaste. So you're probably familiar with that term. They use it in India. They use it. People that practice yoga often say Namaste. It's a Sanskrit word, and it's, you know, there's different takes on the translation, but it's the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. You know, so the God in me recognizes and honors the God in you. The Christ in me recognizes and honors the Christ in you. And if we have a hard time forgiving the person, you know, someone, finding a way to connect with the Christ in that person and helping us experience compassion toward that person. And this is really, this is the basis of what, you know, Jack Bolin was, what did through the visualizing the face of his son when he imagined his brother-in-law. And so it's like, it's recognizing, it said, okay, it's like what Rumi talked about. It's like our spiritual DNA is perfect, that place where that it's beyond wrongdoing and right-doing, where our souls are fine. So it's that part of us that's recognizing that part in someone else. And so we're, you know, we're really leaning into that and honoring the light. The light in me honors the light in you. So that's namaste. And then the third one is what's called the Dalai Lama's loving kindness meditation. And Joan had talked about that. She had used this meditation. And there's three different levels, if you will. Three levels that we can use. So first we do toward ourselves. So again, it's like we're clearing our field. Same thing if you're on a plane. They said if there's turbulence and the airbags come down, you put yours on first. So we have to secure ourselves first before we can help others. So toward ourselves. So this is the meditation. May I be truly happy. May I live in peace. May I live in love. May I know the power of forgiveness. May I live in recognition that my life has deep meaning and good purpose. So it's a meditation. You know, it's an affirmation too. Right? It's like bringing that in toward yourself. And then when we do that for ourselves, then we do it toward another. May you be truly happy. May you live in peace. May you live in love. May you know the power of forgiveness. May you live in recognition that your life has deep meaning and good purpose. And then we can take it to even a higher level, toward community or the world or, you know, our family, our group, our tribe, or, you know, so the bigger we, you know. So may we be truly happy. May we live in peace. May we live in love. May we know the power of forgiveness. May we live in recognition that our lives have deep meaning and good purpose. And so, you know, if you have a meditation practice or a time that you just get quiet, or, you know, quiet prayer time or whatever that sacred hour is or sacred time is for you, this is a nice one to really get into the flow, get into a feeling. Again, starting with yourself, then toward another, and then toward the bigger community. And so you can see that these are three very transformative and powerful techniques that we can use, especially since we're talking about forgiveness, that we say, you know, we get that feeling, that contraction is, all right, I still have work to do here. So, you know, let me try Tonglen, or let me try Namaste, or let me try this loving kindness meditation, and practice it and see which one resonates. And you may use them all. You may use, you know, one or two for certain situations, or you may resonate with one of them and use them as your main go-to. And they're very powerful. They're very powerful practices, and it gives us, you know, another tool in our toolbox. And again, we're talking about forgiveness, but we can use it for many different aspects in our lives. You know, with our coworkers, or, you know, with relationships in our lives, with our family, with, you know, people at our church or temple, or, you know, people that we know in society, or people we come in contact with customers, you know, with clients. So, you know, you can choose, you know, and there's probably many, many more. There's many more out there, but these are very, very powerful, transformative. And so if you just put that as part of your daily practice, you'll see that they become even more profound and speed up your practice of forgiving and just brings you deeper peace inside and deeper joy and deeper love. So removing that block that we feel that allows, and we're freeing up that energy, that we can put that energy toward our vision. We can put our energy toward creatively expressing who we are. We can put that energy of love to many, many good uses, just releasing that within us. So does anybody want to comment on that or share any other experiences they, you know, or something they got, an insight they got out of that?
I want to say something. It's Jennifer.
Hey, Jen.
Hi. So everything that everyone said is really very moving. I mean, it just, such a, you know, moved by everything that everyone said. And I'm listening, and there's so many things that I would have liked to have added, but, forgiveness to me is, and I'm glad that I'm here with you all to, you know, revisit something that I get, it really is, it's in all of us already, because if we can't forgive, we can't really love. So it's nice to, you know, revisit something that was already inside of us all. So it's, but, you know, I didn't feel like I had anything substantial to add to it because it seems so normal to me to forgive. And, you know, if something happens in my life, you know, it just it seems normal. There's always a reason why something happens. And like you said, and like Mary has said, it doesn't mean that you accept it. It's just, you know, a natural response inside of me is to forgive. So to make a long story short, I think recently what I've been forgiving is myself. And it seems to me, does not come natural. As natural as it does to, you know, the most recent thing that I had to, you know, just look at, understand it, and maybe put it in a compartment and say, well, this is kind of where it should be, at least from my perspective. I recently had an experience with a friend that I've had for 12, this friend I've had for 12 years, and he's a very dear friend to me. You know, we had to go our separate ways, and, you know, he did some silly things recently that were hurtful, and I just, like normal, just said, Jennifer, you understand that this person, this friend of yours, doesn't really mean to hurt you. Without, you know, needing for, you know, him to say, I apologize, Jennifer, it just naturally goes into this little compartment. But with myself, I've had this staunch, you know, restrictions with what mistakes I'm allowed to make. And because of this program, it's made me much more conscientious and opened my eyes to the point where now I can't close them. And they're open now, and I'm unable to close them, even if I wanted to close them, which I don't want to close them. But I noticed that I'm really tough on myself when it comes to allowing myself to make mistakes. And now I'm offering myself understanding and acceptance, meaning that I accept the idea that, you know, if you're trying in life, the likelihood of your skipping a step, or if you want to call it making a mistake or overlooking something, or just plain not doing it the way you would ideally like to do, you know, something, it's okay, you know, Jennifer, it's okay that you don't need to be perfect. Perfection is kind of a road to destruction anyway. And it's nice to feel this release of energy, because I do think that I really sincerely believe what Mary has said, that when you don't forgive, you're holding energy captive. It's like I'm taking forgiveness, like I'm taking a situation and understanding it, saying it's okay. I'm just going to put it in this compartment. It's good there. That's where it belongs. That same type of compartmentalizing. I'm compartmentalizing my energy, and it's not able to be free and flow because I've been unable to forgive myself for things that I'm not pleased with or proud of, or in hindsight just see that I could have done it better if I just slowed down or, you know, listened to my intuition. And I just noticed that when I see my reflection, and I guess I'm saying my reflection because it's like I'm stepping outside of myself when I see my reflection, and I'm not criticizing what I see. And I feel like I could take a deeper breath, and it's been an awakening, really. It's been an awakening for me. And in that awakening, I do feel like I feel freer, and I feel a greater understanding that I would normally offer someone else, but I'm offering it to myself, if that makes any sense.
No, that's a beautiful thing. And thank you for bringing it up, because we often talk about, you know, forgiveness of other people, but we also have to work on forgiveness of ourselves. Because just like, you know, again, it's like we're not perfect. We're here to learn, and if we look in our past, we say, all right, yeah, okay, I can see, notice what you're noticing, I could see how I acted unskillfully there, or I could see the pattern of me going, you know, to, you know, that behavior over and over again, and it's, you know, it's not so skillful, or it's not really, so we're, you know, forgiveness works for ourselves as well. And just like you said, I mean, you use that analogy, you're putting it in a compartment. Well, you know, if something is jailed, there has to be a jailer. And there's an energy that's needed to form that compartment and to hold that compartment. And we have to realize that, you know, you're jailing yourself, or we jail ourselves, but the door is not locked, that we can open the door and walk out at any time and release that energy of that compartment and release the energy of the jailer, because you are the jailed and the jailer. When you hold unforgiveness for yourself. And so that's really beautiful. And say, okay, you know, I forgive myself for acting this way, and I'm learning from that. I know I'm not perfect, and I'm learning from that, and I'm growing from that. And you, like you said, your eyes are open, and you can't close them anymore. It's like, you know, you've raised that vibration. You went to that next level. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So we can apply this to ourselves and practice this for ourselves as well.
So thank you for helping me do this, because it really is, it's like you said, it's a vibration, and it is palpable now inside of me. I feel it. I feel it when I wake up in the morning. Yeah, I feel it with every little task that a person does, making their bed to preparing food. There's an excitement, an energy there that I must have put it down some time ago and forgot where I put it. And then because of this program, because of all of you, I came back to it. And it's helped me on days when I would normally feel sad. I don't feel that same sadness anymore. Something must have, you know, like a glacier, a big piece of a glacier must have, you know, dropped off of me because so thank you very much.
And you're welcome. And there's another thing that you know, that Spirit just reminded me of. There's a law that's called the law of non-resistance. And the image came to me as you were talking, like, you know, with your friend, and sometimes he does silly things. And then, you know, we have these, you know, people in our lives, and we have these patterns where they may say something, or they might be behaving a certain way, and then we react in a certain way. And then we look back, and then we have to forgive ourselves for acting in that certain way. Well, there's a law of the universe called the law of non-resistance. And in martial arts and in kung fu especially, it's used a lot. And I say it to Caroline all the time, you know, because there's a certain people that be able that push your buttons. It just happens. And I said, don't push back. Don't. Mm-hmm. It's like if somebody fighting the wind, they're going to exhaust themselves because there's nothing to resist. So it's the law of non-resistance. I just saw like on Facebook, there's this guy. He's teaching a course on ducking and weaving. Like if you get into a altercation with somebody, just ducking and weaving, you know, non-resistance. And then if there's nothing for them to push against or hit against, they're going to exhaust themselves pretty quickly, and it's going to shift their energy. And then that way we don't have to, you know, behave in a way that we're not comfortable with or don't, you know, that we'll end up having to do forgiveness on ourselves later. And so it's that law of non-resistance, you know, changing that pattern, doing something different than it's happened, you know, in the past. Mm-hmm. And so it's a beautiful thing. It's a good work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good work. You're doing. You're introducing it. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
People.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So our life work this week is choose one of these practices and work with it this week. You know, which one, you know, try them all on. See which one resonates even stronger for you. So Tonglen, Namaste, and the Kindness Meditation. They're all, you know, they're all in the lessons. They're all there. And so practice that this week. You know, as things come up, you know, for yourself, feelings of unforgiveness toward others, toward yourself, and practice it and see what happens. Listen to, you know, Meditation 2, because that corresponds with Phase 2, which we're in, Bridging the Gap. And then this next week we're going to look at Lesson 12 and do the exercises in the book. So next week is Week 8, and we're going into Lesson 12. Everything's there in your online coaching portal. So be sure you do that. And again, just visit your vision every single day. Read it every day. Create those snapshot, you know, those scaffolding images. Put it on, but get into that vibration every single day. And good work this week, guys. So anybody have any closing remarks before we close the call this week?
I could say one more thing. So, you know, I kind of dance around things that make me nervous or scared. And last week I found out that someone who's very dear to me, she was a teacher of mine in high school, and I've kept in touch with her over the years, she passed away. And she passed away pretty suddenly. She had been... She was diagnosed with cancer, I think it's like 12 years ago. And anyway, passed away suddenly, and her husband contacted me with an email. It was a beautiful email, and I read it last Thursday, and I thought, oh, God, what am I going to do? I just don't know what to say to this man. They were very, very good friends to each other. I mean, you look at these two people and you think, this is the way it's supposed to be. They really understood each other, and they made a beautiful life together. And they'd been together for 40 years. They met when they were 40, and they were together for 30 years. And thought over the weekend, I said, okay, I'll call him over the weekend. And on Sunday, I thought I would call him before I went to work, and I realized that I deliberately did not make time because I was so nervous to make the call. Didn't know what I was going to say. What do you say to a gentleman who just lost his best friend, you know, his wife? And I called this morning, and he picked up while he was in the hardware store, and I was so grateful to him that he did pick up because he was in the middle of completing the transaction. And so I just waited for him to get back into his car, and we talked for probably about 10 minutes. And it was the most beautiful conversation that I think, you know, I've had with Woody. And he thanked me for the call, and I thanked him for picking up. And when I got off the phone, I felt like it was this you know, this program that you've introduced was definitely, you know, a key player in me not waiting longer, because I suspect I would have waited longer. And so once again, I reflect onto this program with great gratitude, because it's really heightened my awareness of every little thing that I experience. So if I was experiencing things at 50% before, I feel like I'm up past 100 now. And I do believe that it's because of, you know, the fine tuning, you know, of this program. It just makes the blues bluer and the pinks pinker and the whites whiter. You really, it's like your sense of sensitivity, or my sense of sensitivity, has heightened. And I do think it's because of everything that you've introduced and that we're talking about, and being part of people who want to explore knowing more, feeling more, saying more, sharing more. And I just thank you again, and I do attribute it to this program that I was able to, you know, do the right thing at the precisely right moment. And so just that's kind of, I just wanted to give a little more gratitude to this program and to what you're suggesting that we all, you know, try on and see how it fits in our lives. So thank you.
And listening to the voice, listening to mm-hmm. infinite yeah. intelligence, spirit, Holy Spirit mm-hmm. coming through you. Mm-hmm. And also we have to realize, just remember that, you know, we have our infinite side and we have our finite side. The finite side is our human side, and the infinite side is spirit. And mm-hmm. and love can never be destroyed. So what mm-hmm. they shared together over the 30 years that they were together is mm-hmm. is not going away. That it will always mm-hmm. live inside both of them, and not only that, but experienced mm-hmm. by people like you who knew them. And so mm-hmm. that doesn't go away. You know, the physical mm-hmm. body, you know, that container has gone for her, mm-hmm. but the love remains. Mm-hmm. What you experience remains, mm-hmm. and you honored that. You know, it took, you know, you didn't know what to say, but then you listened and you picked up the phone and you called. And you honored that. You honored mm-hmm. that what they shared and what they still share and what still exists, mm-hmm. that love is still vibrating there. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful yeah. thing.
Mm-hmm.
So good job there. Yes. Good job.
Good job.
Beautifully put. Beautifully put.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
This is Trish. I just want to say one last thing before we go. I am thankful and grateful for Carl and for Caroline for hosting these sessions, and for each and every one of you who are on the call and who are not on the call. I don't know everyone's name, so I don't want to leave anyone out, but I'm thankful and grateful for all of you.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you, too.
Yeah, and we are grateful for you as well. We love
yeah.
each and every one of you.
I feel the same
really.
Way. Thank you.
Yeah. God handpicked everybody to be on this call at this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God.
All right, beautiful people. So next week, next Monday is the 14th. So same channel, same bet time, bet channel, 8 p.m. on the 14th. And we'll gather again, and we'll continue raising awareness and building our lives that we would love to live.
Yes.
All right, beautiful
Amen.
People. We love
all right,
you all.
Thank you. Have a good
have
night.
A great
thank
night.
You.
Good night, everybody.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
I feel like we're the Waltons.
Yeah.